child out of my room, I could never Shri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopinath, Sayam
Giri Govardhana Pichaya, Vrindavana Pichaya, Mathuranama Pichaya, Chakadavasami Pichaya, Yamunamai Pichaya, Srimatalasi Devi Pichaya, Samadheda Bhakta Vrindavana Pichaya, Govardhana Pichaya. All glory is to the assembled devotees, all glory is to the assembled devotees, all glory is to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Srinivani Pashyacha Deja Tarni. So yesterday was Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance day. There were several other things that happened on yesterday's day, so I thought to neglect those particular things would be actually offensive. In addition to being Lord Nrsimhadev's appearance day, it was the appearance of Radharaman, the deity Radharaman, the appearance of Srinivasacharya, and the appearance of Srila Madhavendra Puri. So very important day, so I thought we take this morning, take the opportunity to speak about those three personalities. Of course, first, Om Ganata Vidanda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Jatsura Pudmiritan Yena Tasmai Shigarani Maha. So first we'll talk about Radharaman, the deity. So Radharaman, of course, is the deity of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami is one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami came from South India, from a place called Sri Rangam, which is pretty far south, a little further south than Chennai or Madras, India. So he was very attached to worshiping Shalaram Shilas. He had several Shalaram Shilas, actually eight. And he had obtained these Shalaram Shilas by going to the Gandiki River. Gandiki River is in Nepal, for those who don't know. And that's where the Shalaram Shilas come from. And so he brought these eight Shilas back with him to Vrindavan. And he was so humble, he thought he was unqualified to worship the Shalaram Shilas. So he took them all the way back to the Gandiki River. And that's a long trip. It's not just a short trip, it's a month or two. So he went all the way back to the Gandiki River, put them back in the river, and the Shilas jumped back into his hand. And he kept doing that, kept jumping back into his hand. So therefore, we can understand he was actually qualified to worship the Shilas, whereas nowadays sometimes devotees get Shilas without their spiritual master's permission, and I doubt if they're qualified, but still they ask permission later. So what happened was that Gopal Bhatta Goswami did not have any three-dimensional, deity forms to worship. And he saw that the other Goswamis of Vrindavan, they actually had deities, and they were dressing them, or their disciples were dressing them, and he was thinking, it would be really nice to be able to dress deities every day. So what happened is that one day a very rich man gave him some cloth to make clothes for his deities. Now, of course, you can't really sew clothes for Shilas. It's just not possible. I mean, you can make a little crown or something. Can't make clothes. So he was lamenting like that, and then one night he took rest, and the next morning one of the Shilas, which is called the Damodar Shila, manifested this beautiful deity of Radharaman. And you can see this deity today if you go to Vrindavan, and there's no visible Radharani deity, but they put the clothes for Radharani right next to this deity of Krishna. It's a beautiful deity, plain food. And at the back of the deity, you can actually see the remnants of the Shila that are still there. So that's called Radharamandi. And Prabhupada said that the Radharaman temple has the best standard of deity worship, and the devotees and the Krishna conscious movement can go there and observe the deity worship and learn from them. So that's Radharaman. So next we'll talk about Shripad Madhavendra Puri. Of course, Madhavendra Puri is the spiritual master of Ishwara Puri, who is the spiritual master of his, don't want to say divine grace, but his ultimate grace. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered Madhavendra Puri to be the source of the understanding of the conjugal loving mellows of Radha and Krishna. Because previous to Sripad Madhavendra Puri, you didn't find so much elaboration on the relationship between Radha and Krishna. Of course, it's there in the Bhagavatam. But most of the other acharyas didn't really go very deeply into their commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam and the other sampradayas, because primarily they were concentrated on worshipping Vishnu, like Sripad Ramanujacharya. He was interested in worshipping Narayan, Om Namo Narayanaya. So what happened is that Lord Nityananda met Madhavendra Puri. When Lord Nityananda was on pilgrimage, he was traveling all over India and Western India. And as soon as they met each other, these two great personalities embraced each other, fell to the ground for hours, and their disciples could not understand. Their disciples could not understand what was happening, so they were completely unconscious. So this is the great love. And then, Lord Nityananda took initiation from Lakshmipati too, who was the same sampradaya as Madhavendra Puri. So Lord Nityananda was actually very senior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as far as the etiquette was concerned. So, although in their interactions, Lord Chaitanya used to order Lord Nityananda around. That's actually an indication or a story of how external seniority is not always the most important factor. Even though Lord Nityananda was far senior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya would order and send him on Sankirtan. And we see this in other cases too, in other incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We find Krishna not listening to Balaram all the time. You know, Krishna is the boss and Balaram is the older brother, right? He's older brother, so. Anyway, Dauju, as they say in Vrindavan, Dauji Maharaj Kajai. You heard of that before? No. It's Vrindavan, Dauji, older brother. So there's an interesting story of how Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwara Puri, got empowered by Madhavendra Puri. Because Madhavendra Puri, when he was getting ready to leave this world, he was crying out in separation from Krishna. This intense mood of what we call Vipralamba Seva, he was crying out, Krishna, Radha and Krishna, I have not reached Mathura. And one of his disciples, by the name of Ramchandra Puri, would criticize his guru. He says, Guru Maharaj, you should be absorbed in Brahman, you're not the body, basically. And the guru, that is Madhavendra Puri, cursed his disciple. He said, get out of here, I don't want to see your face again. And with that curse, Ramchandra Puri developed all sorts of desires, and especially the desire to offend Vaishnavas. So there's an interesting story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about that, how he offended Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by criticizing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for eating too much prasad. So apart from that, Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, disciple of Madhavendra Puri, served Madhavendra Puri in the final days, and Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with him He blessed him to have pure love of God, and he blessed him to have Lord Chaitanya as his disciple. Now, it's pretty nice having Lord Chaitanya as your disciple. So, you see, by the blessings of the spiritual master, anything is possible. So, getting on with the story, was Madhavendra Puri, the story of Madhavendra Puri was actually heard by Lord Chaitanya from Ishwara Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Rimuna, those who don't know what Rimuna is the place where the deity of Shira Chora Gopinath is. Shira Chora Gopinath means the deity who stole the sweet rice. So what happened in Rimuna, some of you actually have been to Rimuna, like you've been to Rimuna with me. No one else here. Rupaluga's not here. So Sumukha's actually been to Rimuna. We had a nice time there. And so what happened in Rimuna, in addition, there's actually the Samadhi of Madhavendra Puri there. What happened in Rimuna is that once upon a time, Madhavendra Puri was meditating, let's go back a little while, he was meditating in Vrindavan around Govardhan Hill. And he had taken the vow never to ask anyone for prasadam. He'd taken this vow. This is a very advanced Paramahansa sannyasi vow. You never ask anyone. If prasadam comes, you're happy. If prasadam doesn't come, you're happy too. You should all do this. No, none of us is that advanced. So, basically, he was sitting and chanting the holy names, not worried about eating. And this little boy comes and brings him some kheer. Some milk, sugar, rice. And offers it to him, and he says, you know, my village, nobody fasts. So Madhavendra Puri takes it, and that night he has a dream. And in that dream, Krishna reveals that he was that little boy. And that he, as a deity, was hidden in the bushes. Because the Pujari hid him in the bushes because the Muslims were attacking. And the Muslims used to go into the villages where there were deities. And they would smash the deities and sometimes even take the pieces of the deities and put them in the roadworks. You know, very, very offensive. It's not all Muslims like that. These are the Moguls, a particular type of Muslims. They're actually descendants of this person called Genghis Khan. I don't know if any of you have heard of Genghis Khan. So it's not, I'm not speaking in a way that we're criticizing any particular religion. So what happens, they hid this deity's name was Gopal, they hid him in the bushes. Okay. And so Madhavendra Puri was told that by Krishna in the dream, and the next day he gets up, calls the villagers, they come with what they call the choppers, that means like your cane knives here. And they went into the bushes and they discovered this deity. And this deity was installed on top of Govardhan Hill. And Madhavendra Puri initiated a whole bunch of people to worship the deity. And they had all these different, what they call anakut ceremonies. Anakut ceremony means where you pile up mountains and mountains of rice and ghee and rotis and all sorts of nice things, and you offer them to the deities. Many times we've gone to Govardhan Hill and we've done these anakut ceremonies. We've had devotees from South India come to join us, and they prepared like hundreds of preparations, put them all in pots in front of Govardhan, and they have me do the offering and arti to Govardhan. And there's pictures of that on the internet. So, anyway, so what happened is that Madhavendra Puri kept worshiping the deities like that for many, many, many years. And then one day, he had a dream. And in that dream, Krishna said to him, I've been very hot here because I've been in the bushes for so many years. I need to cool down. And the only way I can cool down is if you get me some sandalwood. Sandalwood is meant for cooling. You're not supposed to use it during the real cold time of the year. So the place you could get sandalwood in was Jagannath Puri. And the sandalwood actually comes from the Malaya provinces, but actually it's kept in Jagannath Puri for the deities. And it's very, very valuable. Sandalwood oil and sandalwood is very, very valuable. So what happened is the deity ordered him to go to get the sandalwood. So we went towards, So he went towards Bengal first on his way to Jagannath Puri, because it's sort of on the way. And in Bengal, he initiated Advaitacharya. Wow. So he's the guru of Advaitacharya. Then he arrived in this place called Ramuna, because Bengal, between Bengal or Mayapur and Jagannath Puri, there's this village called Ramuna where the deity is, the Shirachari Gopinath. And they offer this deity so much kheer every day in these little pots. And if you take one pot of kheer, it's enough for a whole meal. You won't want to eat anything else. Right? You remember that? And so, of course, when we went there, we also ordered a lot of prasada from the temple. The interesting thing is when you travel in India to all these different temples, if you give a little donation to the temple, they'll come out with mounds of prasadam for you. It's not that expensive. So that's the standard when you travel. So there's never a problem with prasad. Although the first time we did this trip in South India, we took a cook with us and stoves and everything like that. But then after a while, we discovered it wasn't necessary. Because there are temples everywhere, and just give them a little money, and you get opulent prasad every day. It was amazing. So he gets to Ramuna, where there's the deity of Shirachari Gopinath, offers obeisance to the deities, and then he hears that this deity is offered this special kheer called Amrita Keli. It means Amrita, means nectar. So he's thinking, I want to learn how to do this. And he sort of sees the pujari coming in, and he's thinking, I want to learn this preparation. And then he thinks, this is a bad thing. I'm thinking of learning something before the deity offering is being made. He was even thinking, if I could taste it, I can understand how to make it. He wasn't thinking how to taste it for his own sense gratification. He was thinking of how to taste it for Krishna's sense gratification, Gopal in Vrindavan, who was installing Govardhan Hill. So he was thinking like that, and he got so embarrassed, he just left the temple, went to the marketplace, just chanted his rounds, and rested a little bit. Now that night, the deity knew what he was thinking. That night, the deity woke up his pujari in the middle of the night. He said, wake up, you rascal. I have hidden some sweet rice underneath my cloth. You didn't see it because of my tricks. I've hidden some sweet rice under my cloth. So take it out and bring it to Madhavendra Puri, who's in the marketplace. So the pujari, of course, he took a bath first. He went on the altar and looked under the deity's cloth, and he saw this kheer, this sweet rice. And he thought, wow, what a fortunate devotee this Madhavendra Puri is. Krishna's stolen sweet rice for him. So he goes out to the marketplace. Madhavendra Puri, if you're here, Gopinath has stolen sweet rice for you. So Madhavendra Puri was in ecstasy. He got this stolen sweet rice. And he kept this pot of the sweet rice, and every day, he ate all the sweet rice, but every day he would eat a piece of the pot for the rest of his manifest pastimes on the earth planet. So, arrived in Jagannath Puri, and he collected camphor and sandalwood for Gopal, because that was the original mission. And he brought two servants with him to bring the sandalwood back to Vrindavan, and also all sorts of paperwork because it was illegal to actually transport sandalwood from Jagannath Puri. So when he went or passed through Shirachori Gopinath's temple in Ramuna again, he had another dream. And Shirachori Gopinath, or Gopal from Vrindavan, told him, actually, I don't want you to take the trouble to bring it all the way to Vrindavan, all the way across India. So you should offer it to Shirachori Gopinath, and I will be cooled down because of that. Amazing, isn't it? So he offered it all to Shirachori Gopinath. And the deity wanted to say it was devotee trouble because there were many Mughals there, the Muslims there, and they were attacking. It was very problematic. Mm. So Madhavendra Puri did this, and he left his body in Ramuna, and there's a very nice samadhi to Madhavendra Puri, which you can go and visit there. And in his final days, Madhavendra Puri spoke this wonderful verse. He just kept repeating this verse again and again before he left this world. And this verse is a verse spoken by Srimati Radha Rani. I'll read the verse. Hear it here. Ai Nena Dayardra Nata He Mathura Nata Kadavalo Kise Atraya Twalanoka Katara Vita Brahmati Yakaromyaham. The translation is, O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? So this is the intense mood of prema, vipralamba, intense separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Srimati Radharani. So Madhavendra Puri ki jai. Okay? And so the next personality we'll talk about, and we'll probably take up the rest of the class talking about him, is Srinivas Acharya. So Srinivas Acharya is a member of the second generation acharyas from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First generation of acharyas after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the six Goswamis of Vrindavan and Lokanath and Bhugarbha. Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami. In fact, as I mentioned yesterday, we are Rupanugas. We are followers of Rupanuga. So the next generation is Srinivas Acharya. And then we have Shyamananda and Narottama Das Thakur, these three great personalities. So, what happened is his father's name was originally Gangadhara, Srivastacharya's father. His name was originally Gangadhara Bhattacharya. And his mother's name was Lakshmi Priya. So, his father changed his name when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. Because Lord Chaitanya took sannyas from Keshava Bharati in Katwa, and his father, Gangadhara Bhattacharya, was there at that particular time. And when he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take sannyas and get the name Chaitanya, because previously he wasn't Chaitanya, he was Nimai Pandit. So Lord Chaitanya was only Lord Chaitanya when he took sannyas. After that, it was Lord Nimai, or Nimai Pandit, a simple village boy. No, very educated, too. So, when he saw Lord Chaitanya take sannyas and have all of his hair shaved off, he couldn't keep himself from saying, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. And this all he could say, Chaitanya, 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 Chaitanya. And because of that, they changed his name to Chaitanya Das from Gangadhara Bhattacharya. And the interesting thing is, you know, Gangadhara Bhattacharya is a Brahmin name. You understand? So it's a very elevated, at least that part of India. It means you're from a really high-class Brahmin family. So usually, I don't know if you have anyone here by the name Bhattacharya. Do you? You do. And they're really Brahmins, and they're really proud and everything. So that means by changing his name to Chaitanya, he gave up his false pride. Like that. So Chaitanya Das. So also, Lord Chaitanya was shaved by this barber named Madhu. And Lord Chaitanya had such beautiful long hair that Madhu, the barber, said, I'm not going to shave you. It's too much. You know, normally my business is to shave people, but I'm not going to do it now. And Lord Chaitanya blessed him. If you shave me, you'll never have to shave anyone else in your life. And so he shaved Lord Chaitanya and he fainted. So Chaitanya, late, this Chaitanya Das, later on went to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he and his wife, Lakshmi Priya, visited Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, go to see the deity, go to see Lord Jagannath. So they went to see Lord Jagannath, and they went back to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood what their desire was. He said, go back quickly to Bengal, because it was a long trip. You know, a very long trip between Jagannath Puri. Right now, of course, you can go in a train, it's about 6 or 8 hours. But if you go walking, it's a lot longer. And there weren't roads at that particular time. You know, there were trails and everything. And it was dangerous, too. You know, there were thakoids on the road. So, go back immediately to Bengal and your desires will be fulfilled. And they had a desire to have a great devotee as their son. And so, according to one's desire or desires, one gets a particular type of living entity as one's child. You know, if one is, just like we see Hiranyakashipu, his mother and father, his mother had some pretty lusty desires. So because of that, Kashyapa and Aditi got a really horrible son. So you got to be careful. If you want, your son, there's a method that's called Asura Dan Samskara, or Garbha Dan Asura Samskara. Anyway, so, whatever. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even predicted to Chaitanya Das that your son's name would be Srinivas and he would distribute Vaishnav literatures everywhere. So, eventually Srinivas was born in Bengal to his mother and father. And when his father disappeared, that means left this world, Srinivasacharya traveled to all over to Bengal. He associated with great devotees like this other great devotee named Narahari Sadaka. And eventually, when his parents passed away, he decided to go to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He thought Lord Chaitanya was still there. So when he got to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he discovered Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. So there's continual stories of him arriving someplace and being disappointed because the person he wanted to see had just left right before he got there. So he was continually lamenting. You'll hear about this in a second, what I mean by that. So, and then he decided, well, I'm going to study. He also wanted to associate with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, and Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had also left. So he thought, I want to study this Srimad Bhagavatam, and I want to study the Srimad Bhagavatam with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others. Gadadhar Pandit was still there when Lord Chaitanya had left. Yeah, I got a little wrong. So he wanted to study Srimad Bhagavatam with Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So they were looking at the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Chaitanya used, and they discovered that the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used was illegible because Lord Chaitanya had been crying and the tears had washed away the print in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then he thought, I got to go out and get another Srimad Bhagavatam. So he went out to get another Srimad Bhagavatam. And when he came back, he discovered that Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had disappeared along with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So you see, he's being continually disappointed. So then he goes to Bengal to see Lord Nityananda and Advaitacharya, and he discovers that both of them had just disappeared. So continual separation, continual disappointment in his life at this point. So they appeared to him in a dream, and they pacified him. So he did go and meet Vishnu Priya, who was Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's widow, and she gave him her blessings to preach Krishna consciousness, and also he met Sita Thakurani, who was the wife of Advaitacharya. He got blessings from Janava Mata, who was the main acharya at that time. It's interesting. Sometimes people say ladies can't be gurus, but Janava Mata was the main acharya, and he got blessings from Lord Nityananda's son. And Janava ordered him to go to Vrindavan. Okay, so he took her order, started to go to Vrindavan, but before he went to Vrindavan, he met with this great devotee named Abhiram Thakur. And Abhiram Thakur had a very interesting way of blessing people. He had a whip. It was called Jai Mangala. It means victory auspicious. And anybody who got whipped by him would become ecstatic in love with God. It wasn't abuse. So what happened? He got whipped three times by this whip, Jaya Mango. And Abhiram Thakur's wife said to him, stop whipping him. If he gets whipped anymore, become too ecstatic to preach. So it's an interesting way of getting Krishna's mercy. So he went towards Vrindavan, stopped in Gaya, saw Chandrasekhar and Tapamisha, where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dear devotees. And then he arrived at Vishram Ghat. Vishram means where you rest, the resting place, in Mathura. And the Adhikeshwara Devi is there. And then he was told at that time that Raghunath Bhat had passed away. And then also, right before he entered Vrindavan, he was told that Rupan Sanatan Goswami had passed away. So he was attempting to go there to see Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Bhat, and they just passed away right before he got there. So he actually thought at that time, this Vrindavan is a very cruel place. I don't want to go there. But Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami appeared to him in a dream and told them to take shelter of Srila Jiva Goswami. So he eventually arrives and sees Srila Jiva Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is his spiritual guru, became his guru. For some time he stayed with Raghunath Das Goswami at Radhakund, and he associated also with Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami and another devotee, Raghava Pandit. So he was taught the Bhakti Shastras by Srila Jiva Goswami, along with Narottamadas Thakur and Shyamananda. And he was given the title Acharya. Previously he was just called Srinivas. He was given the title Acharya. And he turned around Vrindavan. Eventually, Jiva Goswami said, you have to go with these books, the books of the Goswamis, to Bengal, take them back to Bengal, and spread Krishna consciousness. So he was sent to Bengal with the scriptures, and they put the scriptures on an ox cart, and they were guarded by so many guards. And when they entered Bengal, they entered one particular village called Vana Vishnupura, where the king was, his name was Vira Homvira. And this king was renowned dacoit. He was a devotee. He went to Bhagavatam class every day. But he was also a dacoit. And he had expert astrologers. And his astrologers told him that when these devotees entered, on that cart, there was a chest with unlimited treasure. So he and his dacoits, they planned out in the middle of the night, they stole this chest with all the books of the Goswamis. You know, at that time there weren't any printing presses, at least in India. And so these were handwritten copies of the Goswamis' literatures. So they took the chest down to his basement or wherever he kept things safely, and he opens it up and he sees Rupa Goswami's handwriting, which is described, looks like pearls on a thread. Very beautiful. I don't know if anyone's ever seen Rupa Goswami's handwriting. There's some copies and problems books about it. And it's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful handwriting, like calligraphy, basically. So he saw that and he closed it and he thought, oh, I made a big offense. And he dreamt that night, Srinivasacharya came to him that night, and he said, basically, I will come and be your spiritual master, just wait. So one day, the king was in Bhagavatam classes, and Srinivasacharya happened to come into the Bhagavatam class, and he corrected the person who was giving the class. And the king recognized him, and the king eventually took initiation from Srinivasacharya, and the queen also took initiation from Srinivasacharya, and the king made sure that everybody in the kingdom had to be a devotee, or else they were kicked out. They couldn't get a visa. They were kicked out of the kingdom. They had to chant their rounds every day, or at least be devotees, and eat prasadam, and no meat eating in the kingdom. So everyone had to become a devotee. And Srinivasacharya, interestingly, after that, he got married. He had three sons and three daughters, and one of his daughters became a guru. So there's another lady guru. So it gives you ladies hope. Well, no one should want to be a guru. It's a service for Krishna. And Krishna has to directly tell you to do it. And your guru has to tell you to do it. So another great disciple of Srinivasacharya was named Ramchandra Kaviraj, who met his guru on his marriage day. Just like yesterday, you had some sort of like engagement with all sorts of heavy metal music. It kept me up all night. I had to put my noise reduction headset on just to sleep. So he was coming back from his marriage, and he met his guru, and that was it. And he took initiation from his guru. He did. After that, he rarely saw his wife again. He actually spent most of his time with Srinivasacharya and with Narottama Das Thakur. He was very friendly with Narottama Das Thakur. And so even one time Narottama Das Thakur asked Ramchandra Kaviraj, go back and see your wife. So Ramchandra Kaviraj was so attached to Narottama Das Thakur's association, he walked a few steps out of the temple. He couldn't go any further. And Narottam looked at him and he felt so guilty, Ramchandra Kaviraj felt so guilty, he started to hit himself with a broom or a stick or something like that. And Narottam rushed up to him and said, you're causing pain to me, but this is how much love the Vaishnavas have for each other. So it's very important, the relationships between these three personalities, Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shyamananda, how close they were. You know, there's very loving relationships between the Vaishnavas. No competitiveness, just helping each other, supporting each other, etc. So Srinivasacharya continued to preach in Bengal and made many, many devotees there. Eventually he went back to Vrindavan and left his world in Vrindavan. He was with Ramchandra Kaviraj and they both left the world pretty much at the same time. So that's the story of Srinivasacharya. So any questions or comments? Yesterday was Srinivasacharya's appearance day and Manavendra Puri's appearance day and the appearance day of the deity Radha Rama. Any questions about any of these points? Yes. Sing a what? Shira? S E R. Seer.
What is that?
Oh, seer.
Yeah.
Seer. Well, the word seer is an interesting Old English word. The word seer could mean one who sees. Or one who understands. Sometimes in certain contexts, it could mean one who understands the truth, like the spiritual master. It could also mean Krishna, who is the ultimate seer. You understand? What?
What is the action of seeing?
What is the action? You make spiritual advancement. You see the seer. If you understand Krishna, then you understand the spiritual master. Alright? Yes?
One of the 10 offenses of Polydeus is to not to preach about the glories of Polydeus to make less.
Right, right.
On the other hand, we are required to preach about the glories as far as possible. So how do we maintain a balance between the two?
That's something I explain quite often, is that we have to understand who we're talking to when we talk to them. So we give them as much Krishna consciousness as they can digest. Just like when you're serving prasadam, you're not supposed to give people more than they can eat, because they're not supposed to leave anything over. They just make comparison like that. So Prabhupada explained the right way to serve prasadam is you give people a little, and then they ask for more, you keep putting on like that. Because people are not supposed to leave remnants. I mean, sometimes the guru may leave remnants, but generally. So in the same way, before we speak to people, we should understand who they are, what their level of ability to understand is, whether they're inimical to Krishna consciousness, whether they're favorable to Krishna. You know, there's so many factors. So therefore, usually before preaching to someone on an individual basis, I will ask them some questions about themselves. On a larger basis, we take the risk. Obviously, if we have like 50 people in the room, we can't address or speak to each and every individual. It's impossible. Because obviously, we're going to be saying certain things that are over people's heads or may cause them to commit offenses. I even noticed last night, you know, something I said aggravated one of the members of the audience. Yeah, I noticed that last night. I was watching and they left. And, you know, I was speaking Krishna consciousness and I was speaking about how there's not many gods, you know, just the simple stuff. How there's many incarnations of Krishna, but the demigods are not the gods. You know, simple things that we learn in Krishna consciousness. And one person got really upset because this is his faith in Hinduism. And I mean, I couldn't avoid, you can't avoid a situation like that. But you have to be careful. I mean, sometimes in the past, I've been too, I haven't paid attention, I haven't been careful enough. Like I've told the devotees many times, I used to go into the Hindu temples and I would always pull out this one verse, Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahmarudradi Daivatasam Vayanaiva Viksheta Sapa Sandhi Vavetruvam. Now, do you know that verse? Have you heard that verse? It says, one who thinks that the demigods are equal to Lord Vishnu is a Pashandi. So basically, I was, in one sense, calling everybody there a Pashandi. So that was improper. That was committing the offense. And I never got invited back again. Or if I got invited back, they would tell me, Maharaj, when you preach, don't use that verse. Just be nice to everybody. So probably... You know, sometimes, you know, I know in the beginning days, like Srila Tamal Krishnamurti preached very heavy about, you know, different bogus gurus. I'm not going to mention their names because someone here may be a follower of one of those particular gurus. But how a particular guru was declared himself to be God, or his followers thought he was God. And he was really smashing, which is good. In a general audience, you got to do things like that. But you really should be aware of your audience, too. So what he did was good. What I did in the beginning was bad. Because, obviously, just about everyone there in the Hindu centers thought that all the demigods are God. It was, you know, it's a no-brainer. I just thought, you know, I'll be in the Shingon Guru. Just go and smash everybody. So you got, in other words, use discrimination. Sometimes, like last night, that's not an offense because you got to take a risk in preaching. Otherwise, there's no preaching. You know, Prabhupada really took a risk. And Prabhupada sometimes used humor too. Like one time, when I first met Prabhupada, a reporter asked Prabhupada, you know, why do you have a shaved head? And she had a very short skirt, like we call a mini skirt. And he just answered, it's better to have a cool head and warm legs. So, you know, she didn't get offended, everyone laughed. But the problem was all the devotees said, Jai Prabhupada! Poor girl was like that. So sometimes you gotta take a risk. But basically on a one-to-one basis, Prabhupada did not do that. On a one-to-one basis, Prabhupada didn't smash people, generally. I mean, there's some exceptions. There was one professor of Hinduism, Prabhupada said, first thing Prabhupada said to him, why are you cheating? But Prabhupada knew he had the discrimination. Okay, I think we have to end now. Thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Jai! Shishi Gorna Jai! Jai! Lalita Vishaka. Thank you. Hare Purjam.
Drop some my phone and come back.
Okay, we're gonna leave it at 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you.